Okay, Rabbi Moshe Gadvach, Shavua Tov, good Chodesh. Today's daf is Sukkot of Lamed Aleph, and we're here two lines in on Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, right? A blot and change into the new Perek. And the Brisa says, like, right, even though we've been talking about Lulav, right, we're going to go back to Sukkah for a second, right, within the context of, right, obviously Lulav HaGazel. So the Gemara says, Tarot Abana, within the Brisa, Sukkah Gzula. Let's say you have a Sukkah that is stolen, or Vamasakech Vershus Arabim, or if you just throw up Schach. In public, right? You look at Rashi, Hanami Gezel Ber Harabim. That's stealing from the masses, right? If you set up shop, right, in your Shus Harabim, right there on the sidewalk. So, Rabbi Elazar Posel V'Chachamim Machshirim. Rabbi Elazar says it's no good, and the Chachamim say it is good. Rav Nachman says the Machlokas Peshatokiv is Chaveru Ve'otziu Mesu Kaso. And the Machlokas here, right, is when you, it says Rav Nachman that the Machlokas here is when you basically literally evicted. Your friend, right, the person who you're stealing the sukkah from, you literally evicted him from his sukkah. Rabbi Elazar the Tamei, and this is Rabbi Elazar's Shita, Damar Ein Adam Yosi De Chovaso B'Sukaso Shel Chavero. And this is Rabbi Elazar's Shita that says you're not allowed to use your friend's sukkah, right, to be Yotzei, the Mitzvah Sukkah, right? If you remember a couple of days ago, we talked about, right, this idea that you're not supposed to use your friend's sukkah. And Tachlis is that this is Rabbi Elazar Shita, right? And the Gemara says Miman of Shach, right? Yesterday we said that according to the Gemara said that karka, that land, cannot be stolen. That's actually a machlokas, but here it doesn't matter, as the Gemara explains, right? Ikarka nigzel is if you're telling me that land can be stolen and you just stole land, right? You stole this guy's sukkah, so sukkah gzuli, then it's a stolen sukkah, okay? And according to Rabbi Elazar, it's no good. Right, v'inami karka einu gzelis, or if we hold that land cannot be stolen, right, because land is just there, right, okay, so sukkah, these are sugyas that are not for here, right, these are sugyas in Bava Kama and elsewhere, so if you tell me that karka is einu gzelis, then sukkah shu'ulihi, then it's a borrowed sukkah, right, and again, either way, regardless of whether you hold that Rabbi Elazar says that, regardless of whether you hold land can be stolen or not, Rabbi Elazar does not allow you to be Yotzi the Mitzvah Sukkah. So whether it's stolen or borrowed is irrelevant, according to Rabbi Elazar, and therefore it's no good. For Rabbanan and Tamayu, and the Chachamim are, this is the same Chachamim, the Chachamim Shita, to Amri, Adam Yotzi Dei Chavasu B'Sukkah Sol Shachaveiro. And they say you can't, and the Chachamim disagree, that you can go to a friend's house on Sukkahs, you can go have guests, right, they can be come to your Sukkah, you can be Yotzi with anybody's Sukkah. The karka ainu nigzelis, and we hold that land is not stolen. Again, according to the Chachamim, they hold that the land cannot be stolen, and therefore, when you throw this guy out of the sukkah shaulahi, it's a borrowed sukkah, it's not a stolen sukkah, because even though you evicted him, right, you haven't actually stolen anything. So therefore, it's his, right? And that's still fine, right? And then and you're allowed to use someone else's sukkah. Aval gezel eitzim, but if for whatever reason you stole wood, v'sigech b'hem, and used them for schach, so then divrei akol, everybody agrees, ein lo ela d'mei eitzim. This is a little bit confusing because it's no longer talking about the guy who stole, it's talking about the guy who was stolen from. It's talking about the nigzel. Right? We're talking about the guy who lost the wood. Right? What does it mean? Ein lo ela d'mei eitzim. It means that guy only gets the monetary value of the wood, because what happens, right, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, and this, you're starting to understand a little bit why the yeshiva chevre, if they learn sukkah, they learn lulav hagozel, because there's a lot of Bava Kama type lumdus over here. So as meaning the din is chachamim were gozer that to promote right giving back of stolen property, chazal were gozer that there is some sort of shinui, some sort of change done to the object, and it's been put into the object that was stolen. Yeah, if it was put into a building, so we don't make the person take apart the building. Or instead, they just let them pay back the value of the object, right? The when I say them, I mean the thief. And so if a person steals wood, and he puts it into his building, i.e. his sukkah, so ein lo ela d'mei eitzim, meaning the guy who was stolen from, he can only get the value of the wood, he's not getting the wood itself. The wood itself, the bottom line here, why we're getting to at the end, this is the key line, is that the wood becomes the property of the thief. Right, he has to pay back. In Echanami, you're correct. Obviously, he has to pay back. But the wood becomes the property of the thief, and therefore, he is making schach with his own wood. And therefore, even Rabbi Elazar agrees, who says that you can't use someone else's sukkah, even Rabbi Elazar agrees uh, that, uh, the what's it called? The sukkah, in that case, if you stole wood and used it as schach, then that would be your sukkah, and you have to pay back, but that sukkah is yours and you're yotze. So the Gemara says, mimai. How do you know, right, that this is the truth? Meaning, how do you know that this is only shayach to a case where you stole a sukkah that we said before, right? Well, what did Rav Nachman say? That the machokas is when you evicted someone from his sukkah. How do you know that that's the case? But if you stole wood, right, and then that's totally fine. I mean, how do you know that if you the whole shaila, as we just explained, is whether a sukkah sheula, whether a borrowed sukkah is good? How do you know that the machlokas over here is dependent on whether you're allowed to use your friend's sukkah? So the Gemara explains, midikatani, because we learned in the Braisa, dumya dirshus arabim. Again, what do we say? We said we had two cases in the Braisa, sukkah gzula, a stolen sukkah, and a mesakech birshus arabim, someone who puts schach, right, in public, let's say on the sidewalk. So marishus, I mean, why is that no good? Marishus rabim karka lavdi dehu. The reason it's no good is because just like the land over there is not yours, so sukkah nami lav karka di dehu. So too the case over here is where the sukkah is not yours, meaning that the wood the sukkah itself, right, belonged to someone else, right, and therefore, right, that must be the case. That's how Rav Nachman knew that was the case, that was the specific case of sukkah gezula. Okay. So, Ahu Safta da Asar the Kamidir of Nachman, and again, to illustrate this idea that a thief can just pay back the money of what it stole, what he stole, if the item was changed or put into a building or for whatever reason. So the Gemara says, tells a story that seems a little bit harsh, but it's true according to halachic principles. He safted the asar the kamedir of Nachman. There was a grandmother, some older lady who came to Rav Nachman. Amrelei reish kalusa v'kulu rabbanim debei reish kalusa v'sukkah gzula havi yasvei. She said the reish kalusa and all the rabbanim are sitting in a stolen sukkah. Right, safcha v'lo eshkach, and she was yelling at him, but he didn't pay attention. Velo eshkech bar of Nachman. Rav Nachman didn't pay any attention there. Amalei itza the havelei laavua toas mea betimni sorry avdei tzavka kamaychu velo eshkech chinabai. So she said, a woman whose father, right, had 300 and forefather, I mean, talking about Avram Avinu, had 318 servants, is yelling and you don't pay attention to her. Right, that the relevance is what do you mean that Avram had 318 servants? So that's the pasuk says, right? If you look at Rashi, where is that Rashi over here? Rabban Tamayu. It's a long Rashi, right? Lavua, right? Avram Avinu, right? Yilidei Beiso. The pasuk says, right? That Avram took everybody with him to Eretz Yisrael, and one of the things he took him was Yilidei Beiso. So if you look at the gematria over there, I'm not sure. Is it the gematria? Avram Avinu Yilidei Beiso Shmona Asar Shloshmeos. That's not the gematria. That the gematria does not work out at all. Okay, I thought of it, I guess in my head I thought it was a gematria thing, but maybe I'm not sure where Rashi gets his 318. Okay, fine. Weiter. All right. So again. Anyway, so Avram Avinu says Rashi had 318 servants. That's the amount of people that he took with him to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what she was referring to. Meaning, here's a granddaughter of Avram Avinu is yelling at you. You don't pay any attention. So I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, I said there, like, again, Pisa Hido, right, a little bit, not to say harsh, but MS, according to the halacha, she's just crying. Right? All she gets is the money for the wood. Again, that's the takana. Right? If you look at Rashi right here, quotes the Mishnah Gittin, right, that takana is chachamim hi. Right, so that somebody steals something, right, to be able to encourage people to pay back, and if it was such a pain to go through disassembling items that were built through stolen goods, right, people wouldn't necessarily, right, give items back at all. But if you're telling me that I can just give them a $100 bill, so that, right, that obviously would encourage thieves to return the value. Okay. Again, obviously, with the goal here, right, talking about Elul, right, it's not only that we want people to get payback, we want the thief to do tshuva. And if his tshuva is dependent on destroying this entire building, so obviously it's going to be much harder for him to be overcome his Yetzirah and deal with it. Okay, fine. Weiter. Amar Ravina says, Hai Kashura de Mentalasa, this beam in a sukkah, de Gzula, that was stolen, right? Of the Birabanan Takanta. The Chazal, again, this is also what we've just been talking about. The Chazal made some sort of takana to fix this situation. Mishum takanas merish. Marish, because there's concern that, again, the original takana was that if you stole a big beam and put it into a building, and now you have to dismantle the entire building. So Ravina says this is the same gzera, that if for whatever reason you stole wood, or you put it into a beam, into a sukkah, even though the sukkah is a dira sarai, right, it's a temporary building, right, and let's say you put the beam into, I don't know, school building or something, and you know, and destroy the whole thing. So that was the original takana, but that applies also to sukkah. That's the exact takana that we've been discussing for the past 10 minutes. The Gemara says pshita. Well, yeah, obviously. Ma'ishna me'etzim. What's the difference between wood and you built a sukkah, right? You made in the schach, right? That's literally our case. The Gemara says ma'ad tema. You might have thought etzim shchichi. That wood is different than a beam. A beam, right? A beam of wood that's already been kind of shaved down, made into, let's say, I don't know, a rectangle or whatever, that you have had work done on that. That's really, you know, that's not so readily found all over the place. So you might have thought that the takana was done for a beam, but just by wood that's lying around, you know, you have forests everywhere. Baruch Hashem, we live right above a forest here. Mitzvah Shem, there should be no more fires. There have been a lot of fires this summer. Anyway, but you can get wood anywhere. Right, just wait till Lag BaOmer. You see all the kids crawling out of the frying wood, right, building these massive bonfires. You might have thought, right, Emalo, you might have thought that Chazal did not say, oh, you just pay him $100 and keep the wood. You might have thought, no, you have to take the wood off and go find some more wood. So Gemara Shmuel, therefore, he teaches us it's the same thing. And the Gemara says, it just qualifies for a second, Hanimili Bigo Shiva. That's only on Sukkot. But after Sukkot, right, let's say you put the wood on your Mirpeset, right, and you want to just chill there for the rest of the year. No, hold on. Right, Hadar Be'ene, right, that's not cool, right, that's already, what's it called, it's not as important, meaning that's Hadar Be'ene, you have to give it back. You have to give it back to the owner. But unless you cemented it in there, right? If you cemented it in there, then even after circus is over, right? Then you pay the money. Again, the Pasha says that Rashi explains that on Sukkot, right, your sukkah is supposed to be, yes, it's technically Diras Arai, but that's supposed to be your house. That's supposed to be, right, Teshu Ketaduru. That's supposed to be your structure, your permanent structure. So, again, in that scenario, right, we want to make sure that we're not dismantling anything. But if it's after Sukkot, so again, it's, you know, L'chora, it's a building you don't necessarily need, quote-unquote. And then, therefore, we would, in fact, the Gemara says, we would, in fact, make you take it apart. Okay. Tana, we learned that Raisa, Yavesh Pasul, and Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Now, back to Lulav. Right? Again, we had talked about, it should really be at two dots here, because we're really changing topics completely. But, all right, either way, we said, right, obviously, Lulav HaGazel is no good, and then we said, Yavesh is Pasul. So, Rabbi Yehuda, however, is Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says that a dry Lulav is fine. And Amar Rava, Rava says, Machlokas b'lulav, and the Machlokas here is only by the lulav. But the Rabbanan Savri, because the Rabbanan hold, by Machshina lulav the Esrog. If we connect the lulav to the Esrog, we have a Hekesh, right? Again, by the where do you get the idea that a lulav and Esrog has to be beautiful? So again, we saw Machlokas Rashi Tosos yesterday on the Mishnah, and Rashi brought the pasuk of Zekeli v'Anvehu, which is not so simple. Tosos pointed out, though, and this is what's relevant for us, is that Pashas is, it's from pre-Eitz Hadar, right? The simple understanding, we'll see in a second a different understanding, but the simple understanding is that pre-Eitz Hadar is a beautiful fruit. So the fruit, the Esrog, is what's called beautiful. So the question is, does that apply to the rest of the Dalet Minim? So over here, again, the Tanakhama, the Chachamim say that a lulav that's dried out is possible. Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine. And Rava says that's a machlokas is only by lulav. Because the Rabbanan hold that you connect the lulav to the esrog. Ma esrog boy hadar, av lulav boy hadar. Just like the esrog needs to be beautiful, so too the esrog, so too the lulav. But Rabbi Yehuda sabar and Rabbi Yehuda holds that all machine and lulav esrog, right, we don't connect the lulav to the esrog. Avol by esrog, but by the esrog, divrei kol hadar. But, you know, and everybody agrees that it needs to be beautiful. Because the pasuk says, right, pre-eitz hadar, right, that it has to be a beautiful fruit. Okay. The lulav, lo boy, Rabbi Yehuda hadar. The Gemara says, one second. By the lulav, Rabbi Yehuda does not require a lulav to be hadar, to be beautiful. Right, by the time we learned in a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda omer, yagderu mil malo. Rabbi Yehuda holds, right, it's our Mishnah, that if the lulav is spread apart, right, if the leaves are falling over, so you should tie it up together on top. My time allowed me to buy your other. Isn't that because we want it to be beautiful and look good? So the says, "Lo, no, that's not right. That's not why. Because kidikatani taima, as we taught, right? What's the reason?" So again, we're going to learn tomorrow's stuff. It has to be a kapos tamarim. And kapos, right, that it has to be, as the pashut is, it has to be bound together. Right? And if it was spread apart, right, that you should join it together. Meaning that's the pasuk says that you should bind it, and you should join it together. So therefore, if the branches of the lulav are falling down, so then you have to tie it together. The Gemara tries again. Hello, boy, Hadar, really? Rabbi Yehuda does not require the lulav to be beautiful at that time. Although the Mishnah in Ogdin is a lulav elabimino, devri Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you're only allowed to bind a lulav bimino with what's it called? With its own kind. Meaning that's very often if you have you see people who either tie the lulav together with the strips of lulav, right? Of, I don't know, what do you call them? I don't even know. Right? Strips of lulav, right? You'll tie it together. You don't tie it together with a, like, string or rubber band or whatever. Right? You tie it with strips of lulav. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to tie it together, right, unless you're using the actual species of lulav. So Gemara says, my time, why is that? Is that not because it has to be beautiful? So Gemara says, lo, da'am Rava. No, that's not the reason. It's as Rava has explained, afilu b'siv, afilu b'ikra, didikla. Right, you can even use, right, the siv, I think, is like the stuff that grows around the trunk of the palm tree, and ikra, didikra, is the ikra, is the trunk itself. Right, you can use any part of the palm tree to tie it together, not just like the strands that you can strip off, that you rip off of the lulav. I have my time with the Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says that you can only use the same min, the same species, to bind the lulav together? To kasavar lulav tzarech eged. He holds that the lulav needs to be bundled together, meaning it's crucial. And if you bring something else to bind it, let's say you take a rubber band, so then havilu chamisha minin. Then you're not taking four species, you're taking five. Right, and that's a problem. Right, so that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can't bind it with anything else, right? Not because it has to be beautiful. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "If Ezra me by Rabbi Yehuda hadar." Now we ask a different thing. Again, we said that Rava said that the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is only by the lulav, but by the esrog, everybody agrees that it needs to be beautiful. Aye, is that really true? According to Rabbi Yehuda, v'atani with under Raisa, arbas minim shav lulav, the four minim, right, the arba minim, kishem she'in pochsim mehem kach ein mosifim aleihem. Right, you can't add, you can't subtract. Right, lo matzah esrog, and if you don't find an esrog for whatever reason, right, we can't imagine such a thing. But there are stories, right, in Europe, right, famous stories about the rebbes who would travel, or people would have, there would be only one esrog. I think there's a famous story about, and I forget who it said about, maybe Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that there used to be, which story is that? I don't remember, but there's a story about an esrog at the end of Sukkot, it would be black, because they only had one esrog, and everybody touched it. Right? It started off yellow, but at the end it would be black, because it got so dirty from being passed around from person to person. But Hashem, we can't think of that such a thing, but if the Gemara says over here, if you don't have an esrog, lo yovi lo porish v'lo rimon v'lo devar achar, you shouldn't bring another fruit. A rimon is obviously a pomegranate, a porish, I don't remember. What that is, right? Rashi says is a kurunia. Okay, right. Don't bring any other fruit. The point is, and so therefore, right? So you can't add any more species. So kamushin kshirim, and if you're using any of the species that are kind of wilted, so that's kosher. But evasion, but dried out or puzzle, right? That Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afivation, you can even use a dried out one. Right, so you see again, Rabbi Yehuda says that it can even use something that's dried out. The Gemara is immediately going to ask, isn't that referring to all the dalaminium? Because that's what we're talking about. So, then Rabbi Yehuda tries to prove the point. In the big cities where people used to use the, excuse me, one second. People used to give down their lulavim as an inheritance to their grandchildren. So obviously, that's going to be a dried out lulav. So malahem misham raya, that they said back to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a proof. Ain shazatchak raya. Right, apparently that was a time, right? That was they did not have many lulavs, so they had to keep them right in the family. So that's a shazatchak. That was a very, very very dire situation. So you can't prove that that you're allowed to use a dried out dalaminim from the family, you know, from a time period when they didn't have any. But however, katani miyas, however, we learned Rabbi Yehuda Omer afyevashin ksherin, that a dried out one is kosher. My lava esrog, isn't that going on the esrog, and you see that Rabbi Yehuda does not require that an esrog be hadar, be beautiful. So Gemara says, a lulav. No, that was going on the lulav, and therefore it's not a proof at all. Okay, let's just check out what we just said. Right, you have four minim. You can't add, you can't subtract. The Gemara says, pshita. Well, yeah, four minim. Not five, not three. So the Gemara says, you might have thought, hovav am Rabbi Yehuda, lulav tzarech eged. No, you might have thought that since Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need to bind it together, and it's crucial, the binding is a crucial aspect of the mitzvah. And if you bring another species and you just hold it without binding it together, but you hold it in the same hand, you might have thought that you can hold it together, and since they're not bound specifically, right, you bind the dalet minim, right, you have the whole, the four things together, and then you're kind of holding it also, let's say the fifth minim, I don't know, you're holding a watermelon, but you can hold, I don't know, some other fruit, so some or something, so you might have thought that that's fine since it's not bound together, so therefore, kamash malan, you can't even hold it all together, and that would be adding. And that's why you have to tell me that you cannot add one species, even if it's not bound together. Amar Mara said, you shouldn't bring any other fruit. If you don't find an esrog, well, yeah, pshita, obvious. So Mara says, now you might have thought, no, you might have thought that in a time of, right, in a scenario, you don't have an esrog, so that's very possible that people will forget, right, that you should use an esrog. So therefore, Kamash Malan, the Brisa teaches me, Zimna Danafik Churva Minei, Dasu Lemisrach. And then, again, as the Gemara, right, Am Yisrael, we just had, today's Rosh Chodesh. So Bnei Yisrael are compared to the moon. The moon waxes and wanes. Times get better, times get worse. Right? That's the story of Am Yisrael. So yeah, even though it's a bad time right now, not right now, but theoretically, they're a bad time when you don't have an esrog, right? So we shouldn't bring a pomegranate because Baruch Hashem, things will get better, and you'll have a shrogim, and people will think, oh, you can also use the pomegranate, right, for the dalet minim. Okay, Tashma, let's bring a proof. Again, we're trying to knock out Rava. Rava said that the machogis is only by the lulav, but not by the esrog. Esrog hayashan pasul, Rabbi Yehuda machshir, right, an old esrog is pasul, but Rabbi Yehuda says an old esrog is fine. Right, so that's very clear, right? That Pashas is an esrog is going to be dried out. Right? You ever save an esrog from year to year? Once in a while, I'll find an esrog, right, from last year's esrog in my esrog box. Right, once in a while. So yeah, it's all shriveled up and dried out. If Rabbi Yehuda says that's kosher, so then obviously he doesn't require it to be beautiful. So Gemara says, yeah, einachinami tiyufta derava tiyufta. That is against Rava, and Machlokas must be, right, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, right, both by Lulav and by the Esrog. So the Gemara says, one second, Volubai Hadar, but one second. Rabbi Yehuda does not require a beautiful Esrog. Vanatan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Hayor Kikarti, Rabbi Yehuda, Machshar, Rabbi Yehuda, Posel. Rabbi Yehuda apostles a green Esrog. Right, Lav Mishum Dubai Hadar, isn't that because he requires it to be beautiful? The Gemara says, Lav Mishum Dubai Gamar, period. No, because in that scenario, right, it's not completely grown. Right, some green esrogim, right, are completely grown, but in this dafka, this price is talking about an esrog that's not fully grown, and that would be puzzle, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tashma, another proof. Shir esrog katan, Rabbi Meir omer ke egos, Rabbi Yehuda omer ke beitza. What's the smallest esrog you're allowed to have? Rabbi Yehuda says you need to have a bigger than an egos, bigger than another. It has to be like a kibetza. Lo mishum d'bo yehoder. It's not because he thinks the esrog should be beautiful. No. So again, also same reason. Lo mishum d'bo gomar pire. Because you want to make sure, Rabbi Yehuda wants to make sure that the esrog is fully mature. Tashma, another proof. It would be gadol kadei sheyachos shnayim biyado achas. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And on the flip side, what's the big shear of an esrog? So you have to be able to hold two of them, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in your hand. Rabbi Yossi says, no, have you ever seen the big Taimani esrogim? Rabbi Yossi says, no, even if you can hold it with both of your hands, so then it's still fine. So my time, what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda requires a small esrog, right, that you can handle in your hand? Isn't that because it needs to be beautiful, right? Again, and he thinks that a huge, massive one that people are walking around in the old city with these massive esrogim, right, he doesn't hold it, that's like a unsightly, hideous esrog. So the Gemara says, no, it's not because of that. Came down with Rabbah, because Rabbah says, lulav b'yamin v'esrog b'smol. And since Rabbah says, you have to hold the lulav in your right hand, and the esrog in the left, so zimin de mechalfile. Sometimes you'll, for whatever reason, you'll pick it up in the reverse, and you have to switch it. V'yasi lafuchinu, and you have to move it, right? You have to switch hands. V'yasi lusale, and then it may become puzzle, right? Rachmal etzlan, you should drop one of them, right? And you'll mess it up, whether it's the pitom or something, right? You could cause a psul to one of the dalaminim. So it's just simply because you have to be able to handle it. It's Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to, again, it has to be able to handle, right? Two of them in one hand, right? Again, so you should be able to make this exchange, not because you're holding two of them, but you should be able to make this exchange between the lulav and the esrog. Okay, fine. But finally, the best question, right? If you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda does not require the esrog to be beautiful, finally we get to whether Rabbi Yehuda haksiv hadar, right? Pasuk says, right, that we've been talking about, right? Pre eats hadar, a beautiful fruit. So how do you understand that? So the Gemara says, "Ahu hadar bi'ilano mishana lishana." Rabbi Yehuda does not understand that pasuk as meaning a beautiful fruit. It means a fruit that is hadar, that lives on its tree from one year to the next. An esrog, as maybe you know, right, does not fall off a tree when it becomes ripe, like most fruits. Most fruits fall when they become ripe or too ripe, right? They just fall off. And an esrog stays on the tree unless you cut it off. Again, I don't know how long, but it stays definitely several years. So Pasha says, right, that's the fruit that we're talking about. Not a beautiful fruit, but a fruit that stays on the tree. Therefore, the word hadar, according to Yehuda, does not mean beautiful at all. Okay, let's just get to the two dots over here. Vishal Asher, Vishal Asher, Vishal Ir Nidachas. Again, we said that a lulav of an Asher tree that's worshipped for Avodah Zarah. Oh, I pointed out, I said yesterday, this is right, I wanted to mention, that I said on the Mishnah that the Asher tree is possible because it's Avodah Zarah, and that it's Asur Behana. Now, Avodah Zarah is Asur Behana. That is not true. That is not actually true. The Asherah tree is same as the Ir Nidachas. The Ir Nidachas, if you remember, that was a city that was more than half the city worship of Avodah Zarah has to be destroyed. So the Asherah is also has to be destroyed, and that's why it's not usable. And again, we said about the Ir Nidachas, right? The Rashi quoted over there that since it has to be destroyed, it's as if it's not existence, it's not in existence. So again, an Atzei Asherah is a tree of Avodah Zarah that also has to be destroyed. It's as if you're not shaking, right? It's something that's not even there, right? It's considered to be halakhically destroyed. Why isn't it no good because the Avodah Zarah is also Be'ana? Because it's a concept, the mitzvah is lav lehanos nenu. That mitzvah is not considered hana, it's not considered benefit, right? We have to do mitzvahs because the Kosh Baruch Hu told us, right? Yes, we get schar, and we benefit from mitzvos, from doing it from that way of life, but mitzvos themselves are not considered to be hana, and therefore, even though the Avodah Zarah is asur behana, right, that's, I said that yesterday, but it's not correct. That's not the reason why luluv and asherah is no good. Okay, so let's just get to the two dots over here, right? Vishal Asherah puzzle, why is a lulav of an Asherah tree no good? And Amar Rava says, lulav shall Avodah Zarah lo yitol v'mdata kosher, right? If you took a lulav from Avodah Zarah, it's not great, but you're still kosher, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. So Gemara says, hachav Asherah de Moshe askin. No, we're talking about the Asherah from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? The katute miktas shiura, because again, it has to be destroyed. Right, again, the Chazal, if you look at, remember the Torah, right, if you remember, is this week's Parsha, last week's Parsha? I don't remember, I think it's last week's Parsha. Either way, right, if you look at Rashi, right, Asherah de Moshe, what's the difference between the Asherah of Moshe and the Asherah of nowadays? Right, Osam Shahu B'shas Kibush Eretz Yisrael, Hutzruch HaNakasov Sreifa. And the Pasuk says, right, that when the Vashirihem Tishrufun Ba'esh, Uf Silei Elohim Tigadayun. There's a mitzvah for Am Yisrael to destroy the Avodah Zarah that they went into Eretz Yisrael, and all the Avodah Zarah they found they had to destroy. The lulav tzarech shir, and the lulav, as we said, we pointed out, has to be four tvachim. Fine, keman the michtas shirei came into the shreif akai, and therefore it's not big enough since it has to be burned and it has to be destroyed. So deken Ami also makes a lot of sense. Right, the katani dumi dir nidachas, right, it has to be similar, right, that you taught those two halachos back to back, which is similar, which means that the reason for both of them being possible is the same. So Shmamina, right? They see from here that also the Asherah is also no good because it has to be burned, just like it has to be destroyed, just like the Ir Nidachas. Okay, Shkoyach Kol Rabosei, we'll go fight in Hilei Gishas tomorrow. Have a good Chodesh. Very exciting and also kind of terrifying, but El is that duality. It's that two-sided a coin, right? On the one hand, HaMelech Masada, the Kosh Baruch Hu is close to us. On the other hand, we have got our work cut out for us, right, to get ready for Yom Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. It's a Shem we shall be Zocha. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.